Right. Welcome back for another deep dive, everybody. You know how this works by now, right? Another week, another Inspector Story case. This time, this time it looks like we're going down the rabbit hole with the John Stewart story.
John Stewart. Yeah, this one's interesting. Lots of twists and turns, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And we've got, let me see, we've got a biography excerpt, some stuff from social media, it looks like, and
yeah,
a few other breadcrumbs scattered around that we'll try to follow. Let's see if we can put this puzzle together, right? Well, what do we even know about this John Stewart guy?
Well, from what I've gathered, he was a pretty successful businessman, just vanished one day back in 86. Poof, gone. No one heard from him for 3 years.
3 years. Wow, that's a long time.
It is. And then get this. He pops up 3 years later in, of all places, an abandoned asylum.
An abandoned asylum. Okay, so now we're talking. That's got Inspector Story written all over it.
Right. So that's the big mystery, obviously. What happened during those 3 years? And what was he doing in that asylum?
Exactly, yeah. And I was just reading this excerpt from a biography, Asylum's Shadow, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And it really plays up the drama, I gotta say. According to the book, his own wife, Alexandria, tricked him and locked him in that asylum.
Locked him in.
Yeah. And get this, he owned the asylum.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is getting good.
Right. And the book, it goes on and on about the isolation, how tough it must have been psychologically, you know, being trapped like that for years.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? It's like something out of a movie, isn't it? A wealthy businessman, betrayed by his wife, years spent alone, locked away, and then a dramatic rescue. It almost feels a little too perfect, you know?
Too perfect, yeah, almost. Yeah. Which brings us to this other thing we found, the analysis from, let me check the name here, from the fictional narrative analysis. Mm-hmm. And they're basically saying, you know, maybe this whole story, maybe it's just made up.
Ah, okay, throwing a wrench in the works, I see.
Maybe, maybe. But even if it is, I mean, even if it's fiction, I think there's still something there, you know, something to explore. Like, what does it tell us about human nature, even if it's not, you know, technically true?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, even a fictional story can reflect certain truths, right? Like about isolation, resilience, how fragile our sense of self can be. It makes you think, what would it take to break someone? How much could we endure before we lose ourselves completely?
And you know what else we have to think about? Where this story even came from in the first place. Remember that Instagram post from Inspector Story?
The one that was like a cryptic clue. Yeah.
Right. It's almost like they're dangling these stories in front of us on purpose, knowing we're going to bite, you know, knowing we're going to pick them apart, try to find all the angles.
I mean, it's working, right? We're talking about it.
That's the thing, though. It makes you wonder, what's their game? Do they even believe these stories? Or are they just like playing with us, giving us these puzzles to solve just for the fun of it?
Maybe a little of both. I mean, it's definitely fun to try and crack the code, figure out what's real and what's not. But maybe they're also hoping to uncover something deeper, you know, some hidden truth, maybe. Or maybe they just want to make us think, make us question what we believe. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Oh, and speaking of things that make you think, did you catch that part about John Stewart ending up in Bridgewater?
Bridgewater. You mean the state hospital?
Yeah. The one for the criminally insane. That really threw me for a loop. So he's rescued from this asylum, right?
Yeah.
And then he ends up committed to a place for people who are considered a danger to themselves or others. I mean, what happened there?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Did the trauma, the years in that asylum, did that mess him up so bad that he became dangerous? Or did something else happen, something after the rescue that, you know, pushed him over the edge?
Yeah, we just don't know. And the sources we have, they don't really say. It's like this big gaping hole in the story.
It's like we're only getting part of the picture, you know? Like there's a whole chapter missing, a chapter that could explain everything.
Totally. And then there's, I can't forget this part. The biography mentions his daughter, Emma. It says that he was talking to rats in the asylum, pretending they were her. I mean, talk about heartbreaking.
Oh, man, that's rough. It really shows you the power of isolation, doesn't it? How desperate he must have been for connection, for love, to the point where he's talking to rats.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, did those years in the asylum, did they break him in the end? Or did the memory of his daughter, did that help him hold on? Did that help him survive?
It's a question I don't know if we can answer, you know. But it's definitely one worth asking. It really is a disturbing thought, right? To be trapped in your own mind like that with no escape. You know, you start to wonder, what would that do to a person? How would they even come back from something like that?
And the trauma, you know, the isolation. I bet it has lasting effects even after you're, quote-unquote rescued?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've heard stories of people surviving incredible hardships, right? Mm-hmm. Coming out the other side even stronger. But we also know that trauma, it can leave these really deep scars that, you know, they never fully heal.
And we haven't even really talked about Alexandria.
Yeah.
John's wife, I mean.
Yeah.
The book doesn't paint a very flattering picture of her, you know, spending his money, even getting married to someone else while he was still missing. If that's true, it makes you question, everything about their relationship and her motives, of course.
Yeah, for sure. It makes you wonder, was it all about the money? Or was there something more going on there? I mean, we're only getting her side of the story through this biography, right? So it's hard to know for sure if that's the whole truth, if there are other things we're not seeing.
I mean, it'd be great to find some, I don't know, legal records or something from back then.
Right.
They could give us more information about their relationship or what happened when John disappeared, like, you know, divorce papers or bank statements, that kind of stuff. Maybe that could back up what the book says, or maybe it would completely contradict it. Who knows?
That's a great idea. Yeah, official documents from that time period, those could be really helpful. You know, police reports, court transcripts, anything like that. They could help us separate fact from fiction. Like you said, give us a more objective view of the situation.
I mean, wouldn't it be amazing to just, like, unearth those missing pieces of the puzzle? Speaking of missing pieces, the book describes John as, like, practically unrecognizable when they found him. It says he couldn't even say his own name. That level of, I don't know, mental deterioration, it's just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, what could cause that kind of change in someone? That's the question, isn't it? I mean, we know prolonged isolation and trauma, that can have devastating effects on the brain. But still, it's possible, I guess, that his experience in that asylum may be combined with, you know, some sort of psychological manipulation from Alexandria. Who knows? Maybe that triggered some kind of dissociative disorder or just a complete break from reality. It's hard to say.
Which brings us back to Bridgewater. I mean, was he really a danger to others? Was it, like, directly because of what happened to him in that asylum? Or was it something else, something that happened after he was rescued?
Yeah.
Seems like there's this whole other part of the story after he was supposedly saved that we just don't know.
It's a huge gap in our knowledge, that's for sure. I mean, why was he considered a threat? Was it the psychological trauma? Or did he do something or say something after he got out that made people worried? The sources we have, they just don't give us enough information to go on.
It's almost like there are two mysteries here, you know? There's the mystery of his disappearance and what happened during those 3 years. And then there's the mystery of what happened to him after and why he ended up in Bridgewater.
That's such a good point. It's like the story we're being told, it's incomplete. Like someone ripped out a few pages. Or maybe they were never there in the first place. Either way, those missing pieces, they make it so hard to figure out what really happened.
It makes you wonder, right, what are we not seeing? What's the full picture here?
Hmm.
And, you know, one thing we haven't talked about yet is how John's wealth might have played into all of this. I mean, do you think being a successful businessman, do you think that made him a target? Or did it, I don't know, maybe protect him in some ways?
That's an interesting question. I mean, on one hand, yeah, money can definitely make you a target, right? For greed, for manipulation, like what might have happened with Alexandria. But on the other hand, maybe it gave him some advantages too. Like maybe the police investigated his disappearance more thoroughly because he was wealthy, or maybe he had access to better lawyers, that kind of thing. But without more information, it's hard to say for sure how his wealth factored into everything.
You know, I was thinking, what if this whole thing, what if it was like some crazy insurance scam gone wrong? Maybe John and Alexandria planned it together, but things got out of hand somehow.
Okay, now that's a theory I haven't heard before. It's interesting, though, especially if we're operating under the assumption that this whole story might be fictional. Maybe they were in some sort of financial trouble or trying to avoid legal problems, and they came up with this plan to disappear and collect on a life insurance policy.
But if that's the case, then why would they leave John in that asylum for 3 years? And how does Bridgewater fit into all of this? It doesn't seem like your typical insurance scam, does it?
You're right. If it was a scam, you'd think they'd have a way to get back together afterwards, right? To enjoy all the money they supposedly made. The fact that John was found in such a bad state and then committed to a mental institution, it suggests that something went seriously wrong.
If there ever was a plan to begin with, I mean.
And then there's the question of this Harry B.S. guy, Alexandria's new husband, I mean. What was his role in all of this? Did he even know about John? Or was he, like, just a pawn in this whole twisted game?
It's impossible to say without knowing more about him and his relationship with Alexandria. Was he in on it? Did he believe some made-up story she told him? Or was he totally innocent, just caught up in something he didn't understand? It's just another layer of this mystery that we might never fully unravel.
It really is a tangled web, isn't it? It feels like every time we answer one question, we uncover two more. It's true. John Stewart's story, whether it's real or not, it's a labyrinth, full of intrigue and uncertainty. And maybe that's where the most interesting stuff lies, you know, in those ambiguities. That's where we can find the real insights into human nature, into the complexities of truth and deception.
And we haven't even talked about the ethics of, you know, profiting from a story like this, especially if it's based on, you know, real people, real events. That's a whole other can of worms and something we'll need to unpack a little more as we go deeper into this case.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The ethics of storytelling, especially when it comes to sensitive topics or trauma, those are things we always have to consider. It's a tough balance, right? How do we respect people's privacy and their dignity while also recognizing the public's right to know? It's a question we need to think carefully about.
Right. I mean, we need to weigh the potential benefits of sharing this story against the potential harm it could cause, especially if parts of it are made up or exaggerated. That's a responsibility we don't take lightly, and we'll be approaching this with as much sensitivity and respect as possible. It's like, I don't know, it feels like we're dealing with another one of Inspector Story's classic, you know, layered narratives. There are just so many ways to interpret this, so many things we don't know. It's tempting to want to, like, connect all the dots, you know, find a simple explanation for everything. But maybe that's not the point. Maybe the real value is in, I don't know, sitting with the uncertainty.
You might be right about that. I think John Stewart's story, whether it's real or not, it really forces us to confront the limits of our understanding. We naturally want to find narratives, you know, cause and effect, clear resolutions. But sometimes I think the most important truths, they're hidden in those gray areas, in the questions that don't have answers, in the things that just don't quite add up.
Yeah, it definitely reminds us that we can't always trust a single source to give us the whole story, especially if that source has their own, you know, biases or motivations.
Absolutely. I mean, the biography we've been looking at, it paints a very specific picture of John Stewart and Alexandria, but it's just one perspective, right? We have to remember that there's always the possibility of things being embellished, exaggerated, maybe even completely fabricated. Especially when you're dealing with stories that are so heavily reliant on personal memories and interpretations.
This whole deep dive, it's really made me think about the power of stories. You know, how a well-crafted narrative can really capture your imagination, make you question everything you thought you knew.
It's true. Stories, they can shape how we see the world, what we believe, even how we act. But that means there's a lot of responsibility that comes with telling them. We have to be careful to think critically about the information we're given and to consider the impact these stories might have on people, on society as a whole.
So where does that leave us?
Yeah.
What can we really take away from this whole deep dive into John Stewart's story? It's a wild ride, that's for sure. Disappearance, isolation, maybe betrayal. And this incredible story of survival.
It's a story that makes us think about the human spirit, doesn't it? About resilience, about the complicated nature of our relationships, and the blurry line between what's true and what's not. I think, more than anything, it reminds us that even in the most difficult and confusing situations, there's always more to discover, more to learn, more to question.
Well said. And on that note, we'd like to thank you all for joining us on another deep dive into the world of Inspector Story. Don't forget to check out their Instagram for more of these fascinating tales, and keep those questions coming. Let us know what you think.
Stay curious, everyone. Stay engaged and never stop searching for the truth, even if it's hiding in the shadows.